It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with my partner Rachel Erickson, and we come in here every Monday from noon to 12:30, and we talk about the law. And if you have a question about the law, you can give us a call down at the studio at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. You can also give us a call when we're not on the radio at the office at 544-9006. That's 707-544-9006. So, Rachel, we've talked on the show before about negligence. That's where you have a duty. Somebody has a duty to another person. Somebody breaches that duty. There is causation to damages, and then there are damages. So those are the four elements of negligence.
And the most common duty is just to act like a reasonable person. And if you don't act like a reasonable person and your actions cause damages to another person, that is the bottom line negligence. So today we're going to talk about how you don't have a legal case unless you have the damages portion. You can have somebody that doesn't act like a reasonable person and it harms you, but unless you have damages, you don't have a legal case. And we get calls on this all the time, so we thought we would kind of clarify this. We've talked about this before, but it's been a while, so we thought we would kind of clarify the concept.
Well, I was 8 years older than my younger brother, Sam, and one time I said to him, "Shut up, Sam." And Sam ran to Mom, and Sam says, "Mommy, he called me shut up." So, but I said, "So what? What is it damages?"
You hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
not good enough.
Yeah, somebody calls me a name, boo-hoo. And so do I have damages, is the question.
And sometimes you do.
And
sometimes
absolutely.
You might. But, you know, just having your feelings hurt is usually not enough. If now, that being said, if somebody says something, and we've had defamation cases, if somebody says something that causes you, maybe cost you your job, or or people aren't going to work with you or hire you, or
business losses,
any of that kind of thing, those are the damages. Not just that your feelings are hurt, but that it has actually cost you in your profession, or cost you in like serious reputation damages. If you can quantify it, that helps a lot, and then you can tack on punitive damages in some cases. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
You are. We're talking about damages today, and if you feel you've been damaged through the fault of another, or contractually by somebody, or in a real estate transaction or a business transaction, we collect those damages for you, and that's what we do. So if you have a question about that or any other area of the law, we're here to answer your questions at 636-1350. Now, when we're talking about negligence and we prove up our first three elements of negligence, then we have to prove up our damages.
And I do have to say that if you call the office and you have what you think might be a case, that is often one of the first questions we ask. If in the civil arena, it's okay. You know, it's funny because in law school you're taught duty, breach, causation, damages, but in the practice of law, we kind of almost do it backwards. We go, okay, what are your damages first? Do you have any?
Do you have any damages?
And if you don't, then you really don't have a lawsuit, because you've got to be able to have something to collect on.
Correct. So the first type of damages we have to talk about is general damages. Now, general damages, Rachel, are damages for pain and suffering.
That's what most people say, is pain and suffering, but it's more than that. It's pain, suffering, grief, embarrassment,
humiliation, hardship.
All of those things are general. Just when you have your feelings hurt and you know, things are not going well, all those horrible things that you feel. And we just said a minute ago that having your feelings hurt isn't enough. And that is true. But having your feelings hurt is a part of the concept of a lawsuit.
Correct. Now, when we're talking about wrongful death, we're talking about a different area of damages, not general damages for pain and suffering for the loss of another in the wrongful death. We're talking about the concept of how the death has affected the living.
Correct. And when we say wrongful death, we're talking about usually death by a car accident or medical malpractice, or, you know, somebody accidentally got killed. And then the family can sue for what's called wrongful death. The act of another, like I said, you have a duty to act as a reasonable person. If you don't, and you're DUI and you kill somebody else, you know, that's a breach of your duty, and that caused the death of another. So we go duty, breach, causation, and then what are the damages to the family?
Right.
And that usually, you know, can be the children of a deceased parent or the parents of a deceased child, that sort of thing.
Let's jump in here and talk about, before the break, let's jump in here and talk about how the insurance industry has affected general damages.
Oh, man, you do not understand. And I keep trying to tell people, if you take nothing away today, take in two concepts. Number one, we have an organization called Consumer Attorneys of California, and I don't like the name because there's a kind of a negative connotation attached to the term consumer. Consumer means you. If you live here and you're just a regular person, you are a consumer. That's you. It's the people. And it should be the People's Attorney of California, but it's the Consumer Attorneys. And we're representing you, the people, against the insurance industry.
And the attorneys that are members of the Consumer Attorneys, which Rachel and I are fighting the insurance industry.
And the insurance industry keeps trying to limit your ability to collect damages.
General damages. They've done it in medical malpractice.
Since 1976, it's been the same, and we keep going over this. $250,000. I don't care if some doctor renders you a quadriplegic, makes it, you know, screws up so you can't talk or see for the rest of your life. You're limited to $250,000 in damages. You are limited. You are limited since 1976 for the same amount of dollars, $250,000. They've not increased it per index. We tried to do that a couple years ago, and you, the consumer, voted against it. Why would you do that? It makes no sense.
Okay, so here's the thing. We have something called MICRA, which stands for Medical Insurance Compensation Reform Act. And under the MICRA legislation of 40 years ago, which, by the way, was enacted by our own state senator here in Santa Rosa, and it's called the Barry Keene Act, and it was signed by our current governor, Jerry Brown, and it put into law the MICRA Compensation Reform Act, and it compensates general damages at $250,000 maximum.
So let's say you're rendered a quadriplegic. No matter what, you cannot collect more than $250,000 in general damages. And I don't want to expand upon that quite yet, because I want to state that what the insurance industry has done recently is they're trying to limit any cause of action against Caltrans to $250,000 in general damages. So let's say that they screw up on some sort of road project, you know, some road fixing project, and it causes an accident and you're, you know, brain dead forever. Sorry, $250,000 is the most you can get. Even if, let's say, you're a highly qualified psychiatrist who makes $250,000 a year and you're never going to be able to work again in your life, That all you can get is $250,000 in pain and suffering damages. That's it. You're limited. And again, we're not getting into special damages right now. We're just talking general damages. So they tried to do this in Caltrans cases. And remember, the $250,000 cap was put in place in 1976. And here we are, 2017, with the same cap in medical malpractice cases. And then they're trying to institute that same cap in Caltrans cases. And they have tried to institute that on every case imaginable. No matter what kind of negligence, who did it, what the damages are, they're trying to limit it to $250,000. Now, I understand that $250,000 sounds like a lot of money. It does to me, and I'm sure it sounds like a lot to all of you too. But when you think about, let's say it's a 25-year-old that's rendered a quadriplegic. Really? Let's say they're going to live another 50 years. Is $250,000 going to cover 50 years of living as a quadriplegic?
Humiliation, hardship, pain, and suffering are limited to $250,000.
It just drives me insane. So whenever you see that, and $250,000 sounds like a lot of money, think of what those people have to live with and how, what they have to deal with, and that's all they get for not being able to function. Some of these people would rather die. They'd rather die than live in the way they have to, and they're limited to $250,000. And it drives me insane. I mean, okay, maybe $250,000 might cover 3 or 4 years, or maybe 5 years, but it is not going to take care of 30 years, 20 years, 15 years, certainly not 50 years or more.
Today we're talking about damages, and we've just talked about general damages. We're going to be talking about the different types of damages in the next segment of the show. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
Sonoma County's home of Coast to Coast AM with me, George Norrie, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson at Kornblum, Cochran, Erickson & Harbison with offices here in Santa Rosa and in San Francisco. You know us as your car accident and insurance claims attorneys, and now I am accepting family law cases. You can give me a call at the office at 707-544-9006 for all your divorce, custody, and spousal support needs. Give us a call.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com.
Start your next search for a new or used vehicle at carclickgo.com. You'll find twice as many vehicles at CarClickGo than any of the national sites. CarClickGo connects you directly to a local auto dealer of your choice. There's no one in the middle selling your contact information. For your next auto, truck, or SUV, start where more and more of your neighbors are searching right now at CarClickGo.com. You can now search securely and find the most new and used vehicles now available throughout the North Bay at CarClickGo.com.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we discuss some aspect of the law. Today we're talking about damages. Now, next type of damages, Rachel, that we have is special damages. What are those?
Special damages mean that you have an actual dollar figure for the damages. Let's say you couldn't go to work for 2 months, and so you lost, let's say, $4,000 a month for 2 months. That's $8,000 in special damages. And it's just something that you can put a number on. Let's say you have a medical bill of $6,000. You can put a number on that.
So we would include economic damages. Economic damages are like medical bills, loss of income, projected future medical bills, projected future income.
Or if you had to pay somebody to take care of you or pay somebody to cook for you or do your lawn or, you know, whatever you had to pay somebody else to do that you couldn't do for whatever period of time. As long as you have a receipt with a number on it, medications, crutches, wheelchairs, you know, all those things. Those are special damages.
If you serve on a jury, you're going to be told by the judge that pain and suffering are non-economic damages. You're going to be told that there are non-economic and there are economic damages, and those are the special damages. Now, in some cases, when somebody's acted with malice, oppression, or fraud, with those three elements, malice, oppression, or fraud, we can get punitive damages or exemplary damages. Rachel, can you tell us punitive and exemplary?
The concept between those, obviously, is to punish somebody for wrongdoing or make an example of them to the community. And there's something that in the law we call public policy, which is trying to make the public a better place to be. So if you are acting with malice, which means that you knew that you were doing wrong, or you should have known that you were doing wrong, you can get punitive damages meant to punish the person that knew or should have known that what they were doing was wrong and was going to hurt somebody.
We have gotten punitive damages in cases after a trial by the jury. And what happens is once the jury returns a verdict, and they give you general damages and special damages, in certain types of cases, they ask the jurors, did somebody act in malice, oppression, or fraud? And if that answer is yes, then you move into a second portion of the trial that's going to be talking about punitive or exemplary damages. And one of the things you consider in punitive damages is the amount that was awarded in general and special damages, and then or also how wealthy the defendant is. So those are some of the factors that go into the award of punitive damages. So we've got general, special, or non-economic and economic damages. We've got punitive or exemplary damages. Now, when we're talking about contract, we're talking about consequential damages. What are the damages that flow from the breach of contract? So those are going to be talking about what damages occurred after a breach of contract. Now, sometimes the contract has the contract between the two of parties, let's say in a real estate contract or a product contract, sometimes those damages are limited, called liquidated damages. There are damages that are set by the contract itself. If somebody breaches the contract, then sometimes you can collect liquidated damages, and that's if it's specifically stated in the contract. Now, we also have statutorily, that is by statute, sometimes the statute itself limits your damages, or it actually can compound your damages. For example, if somebody commits an intentional act, let's say an employer sexually harasses the subordinate employee, sometimes the statute allows you to get treble damages. That's three times the amount of the damages that you were able to prove up. So
there are lots of laws that apply there. Elder abuse is one of those laws as well. And, you know, we're probably overdue to do another radio show on elder abuse, because there are different kinds of elder abuse. And that is one of those that you can, if you can prove a certain amount of damages, you can by statute get three times that amount of damages. And you also get your attorney's fees, which is really nice.
Now, in California, the judges sit both as a judge of law and a judge of equity. So sometimes when there's no law that applies, the judge is doing what we call laws of equity,
which means just being fair.
Yeah.
And one thing that's really funny is when I try to explain this concept, especially to, you know, new associates to the firm, a lot of times I cannot get them to understand. So I'm just going to try real briefly here to let you know that there is a court of law and there's a court of equity. The court of law follows the law and the statute, and it doesn't care whether the law is fair. Really doesn't care. They're just, what can you prove? And then we're going to follow the law. A court of equity, which is family law cases, which, as you all probably know by now, I'm practicing in that area. Family law cares about what's fair and what's not fair.
It's not just family law, folks,
no,
either.
No, it isn't, but that's a main one.
But all of our civil judges are sitting both as a judge of law and a judge of equity. And let me give you some examples of equity. Judges of equity will rule on money had and received, money lent, land used and occupied. Let's say somebody uses somebody else's land, and what is the value of that use of the land? Let's say somebody grows marijuana or cannabis on somebody else's land. What is the reasonable value of the rental of that land? So there's money had and received, money lent, land used and occupied, goods sold and delivered. So let's say somebody delivers goods to a store and the store takes those goods and sells those goods to the public. That's an implied contract. Or you can have quantum merit, the reasonable value of the services, or you can have quantum valabant.
I'm sorry, I'm the
reasonable
cracking up over
value
here.
Of the
Charlie
use.
Cochran is the only attorney in the nation that knows his common counts. This cracks me up. Nobody else knows this. I guarantee you. You ask any attorney out there, what are the common counts? They don't know them.
And
Charlie
anyway,
Cochran, boom, go.
Okay, so those judges rule on equitable causes of action. So that's all my point was going to be. And I went off and started talking about common counts, what we call common counts. So sometimes Rachel will say, we've got an animal that bit somebody. And I say, was it mansuete nature or fere nature? So that's Latin for foreign or domestic animals. So anyway, she's always kidding me about the little things I know and the things that I don't know. But anyway, those are examples of equity. So we've got the
in today's episode, the nerds of law. Seriously.
Okay. So if you have questions about, you know, damages that somebody else has caused you, you can give us a call down at the office at 544-9006.
And if you don't have damages, don't call us, because I do get that call a lot. You know, and I'm happy to advise. I mean, you can ask, you know, and I sometimes think I should just have somebody that comes in for a consultation, you know, do an ad for us on the radio, because a lot of times I'll have you in, I'll talk to you for free, on not on family law, but on civil law cases. We'll give you a free consultation. So when you see these ads where, oh, free consultation, everybody in civil law will give you a free consultation, because we're willing to give you advice, let you know if you have a case and whether we're the ones that are the right fit for you.
I turned down two clients last week after meeting with them and saying, I don't think you have enough damages for us to work together.
And one of them you met with twice.
Yeah.
For free. And I spent like an hour with a lady last week who, you know, she probably didn't really have a case, but I told her, here's what you need to do. And so we're happy to do that. Remember, though, that attorneys have a job, we have a business to support, we have to actually make an income sometimes, so we can't spend all of our time doing free consultations, but you have to realize, and I think that that's one of the funny things, as we were talking earlier about what we were going to do the radio show on, and I was thinking, one of the things people don't realize is that attorneys get this horrible, horrible reputation for being ambulance chasers and sharks and, you know, what's the matter with 10 attorneys buried up to their necks in sand, not enough sand.
Yeah.
You know, there's a dead skunk by the road and a dead attorney by the side of the road. What's the difference? There are skid marks before the skunk, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So people always give attorneys such a bad reputation. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you go see your doctor and your insurance, maybe, you know, they charge you $250 or $150 for just an office interview that takes you 10 minutes, an hour of waiting, and then 10 minutes in the office. And they get paid, let's say if it's a $150 visit, they get paid $90 by the insurance company, and you pay your $25 copay, and then the insurance company, then they write off the rest. We don't have that. So we actually do have to get paid somehow. We have a business to run. We have employees we have to pay. They have, you know, families that they have to feed and mortgages. And,
so
okay, but I digress.
Yeah, you digress a lot. So we have
it's Monday.
You have to have damages in us order for us to take your case. And I'll never forget this lady calling me, and she says, "I've been sexually harassed." I said, "Oh yeah, what happened?" "Well, my boss, he's a male. My boss invited me out to a chamber mixer." I said, "Yeah, so what?" "Well, then he asked me if I wanted a glass of wine." "Okay." "And then he asked me if I want to go to dinner with him." "Okay." And I said, "No." "Okay." "And then what happened the next day? Did he punish you in some way?" "No." "Did he cut your pay?" "No." "Did it affect you in any way financially?" "No." "Well, then you have no damages. Not only that, that's not sexual harassment. That's just a..."
Maybe
he's just being friendly.
And if he's creepy and you said no, you still don't have any damages.
You still don't have any damages. So today we've talked about damages. And so when you give us a call at 544-9006, one of the first things we're going to ask you is, what's your damages? So give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006.